The scripture reading this morning is taken from Jeremiah, the 9th chapter. I'm reading verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. Always so thankful for the opportunity we have to come together and worship God in spirit and in truth, the God that we serve, the God, the creator of the universe. And certainly we have many things to be thankful for. So thankful for Jason and the prayer, and Nikki and the reading, and the song reading by Brother Jeff. Always so thankful for those individuals that are willing to serve in those ways. You know, there's many dangers in this life. And one of those dangers, I believe, is pride. And certainly the Bible directs us towards that idea many, many times. And I think many times the danger of pride is that we can get lost in it and almost not realize it because of our pride. And sins like that are very dangerous. And when you look through the Bible, I think all sins have somewhat a pull like that. Is that when we get engaged in a certain sin, it almost blinds us to some degree. It's almost like we're not thinking clearly. I'm not saying that we don't have free will, but it's amazing how many times people get lost in sinful behaviors. It's almost like they can't see that they're lost in a sinful behavior. Pride is certainly one of those. And our reading in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 through 24, I think it gives us three danger zones for pride. I think we're most in danger when it comes to pride, when we're actually prosperous. When things are going well, when you're successful, when things are when we don't have as many problems, I think that is when pride is really knocking at our door. But Jeremiah chapter 9 gives us three categories. And three categories that I want you to think about this morning and think about, have I slipped into one of these categories? Or if I was to slip into one of these categories, which one would it be? And as we read Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 through 29, it talks about man, and I think that these are all tied to pride. It says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. That's one area, I believe, that we can get lost when it comes to our pride, is our wisdom, our earthly wisdom. We think we know, we think we have it all put together, we think we have all the answers, and worse than that, we think we know better than God. Category number two, it says, let not the mighty man glory in his might. There's certainly a lot of accomplishments that you could achieve in this life, whether it's business, career, or things that you have done, but you need to be very careful. It says, let not the mighty man glory in his might. Third category is wealth or riches. It says, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. These are the three categories we want to look at this morning. Wealth, accomplishment, wisdom. Do we get lost when it comes to pride? The title of the lesson is The Prideful Pot. And I really want you to think about that image this morning. Jesus, a lot of times, he taught in parables, he taught in images. I want you to think of a pot. You know, pots are created, are they not? Of course, the process has changed. The different processes have been introduced, but I want to go back to like the clay pot. You've got the potter there, and the potter is working with that clay, and he's spinning it, and he's working, and he's molding that pot. He's creating that pot. That pot has been made. That pot has been created. And wouldn't it be a foolish thing if that pot started to do some things very prideful? You know what's sad is we are the pot. I struggled between two titles this morning. The prideful pot or the prideful creation. Because if I wanted to say, find a prideful human, you say, oh, that's not hard at all. To find a prideful human is not hard at all, but to find a prideful thought, that might be a little bit harder because we realize how foolish it would be. How foolish it would be if a thought spoke to the Creator and said, "Why did you make me like this?" Wouldn't that be foolish? Can we even imagine that? The potter works hard to create this pot, puts all the time and effort to design this pot the way the pot is supposed to be designed, and then the pot starts talking to the Creator and saying, "You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're doing." A pot wouldn't do that to a human, but do we do that to God, the Creator of us? I want you to think about that image. Because God created us, but I think we can understand this image that we could create pots. And many times throughout Scripture, this image is used that we are the pot. Have we become a prideful creation, and have we got lost in our pride to the point that we can't see that we've got lost? Let's talk about the first category that's brought up by Jeremiah, wisdom, or really human wisdom. When we have much learning, when we get educated, when we have a lot of worldly wisdom, then sometimes we stick our finger at God and say, "God, I know better than you. God, I know better than you." What a foolish picture that would be if a pot all of a sudden started talking and started saying, "Hey, potter, I know a lot better than you. I can do it a lot better than you. I've got a better way." That would be a foolish picture, but yet when humans speak against God in that way, do we realize the disrespect? Do we realize the picture and the pride and the arrogance that comes with that? Would a pot say to the potter, "I've got a better way"? But how many times do humans do that? How foolish it is of us. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 20, it says this, "But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, 'Why have you made me like this?'" You know, you think about that, a pot that's got a little attitude, a pot that is talking back. We say, that's foolish. What a foolish thing to do, but do we as human beings, the creation of God, do we talk back to God? Say, "God, I know this is what you said about marriage. God, I know this is what you said about church organization. God, I know this is what you say about being a good spouse or a good husband. God, I know this is what you say about raising children, but I don't want to hear it. I know better. I've got a better way." Do we really have a better way? Does the pot, does the clay have a better way than God? We don't must laugh at such a picture. If a pot started talking and got a little sassy and said, I know better than you. You are nothing without the Creator. And we as human beings need to have that image very clear in our head that no matter what wisdom we acquire, no matter what we learn, we can never, ever get prideful and talk back to the Creator of the universe. The created, the design, is so small compared to the designer. And it is like that all throughout life. You think of a house that's built by an individual, right? Is the house plan better than the builder? No, the builder had to think that through, put all those plans down. Is the business plan, is it better than the person designing that business plan? You think about it. Things that are designed, the designer is always superior. And when it comes to us as the creation of God, God is superior. And there is no amount of human wisdom that we can get that we can shake our hand at God and say, "I know better than you. I've got a better way." But people do it all the time, unfortunately. In Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 9, it says, "Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the pot thread strive with the pot thread of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, 'What are you making?'" What a picture that is, that the creation would talk back to the Creator. There is no place that we would look on earth and we have the lesson plan talking back to the teacher. That we have the house plan talking back to the designer of the house. That we have the pot talking back to the potter. We don't see that on earth. We understand that. But yet we all say, God created us. Do we ever shake our hand at God and say, "God, I've got a better way than you"? What a foolish thing that is, and yet man seems to run around like that, pound their chest and say, "I've got a better way." The pot is nothing without the potter, and we are nothing without God. And when we forget that, we will fall into the trap of pride every single time. Job, in Job chapter 1 and verse 21, he said, "Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I will return thither. The Lord gave me, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Do we really think we're that special? In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "We carry nothing into this world, and it's certain we're going to carry nothing out." We carry nothing into this world, and it's certain that we're going to carry nothing out. Do we look at God and ever shake our hand and say, God, I've got a better way. I've got a better system. I've got a better way to go about this. We are the pot, and the pot does not talk back to the potter. But we see that all in our society today. Everyone's got a better way than the Bible. Everyone's got a better way than God. That's prideful and it's foolish. Never would we look at a house plan talking back to the person that designed that house plan. Never would we see the lesson plan talking back to the teacher and say, I've got a better way to do it. The designer is always superior to that which is created. Have we forgotten that? I pray that we don't. I'm such a great pot. Look at all this water I hold and look at how many people I serve. I'm a great pot. You're just a pot. And you're nothing without the Creator who designed you for those purposes. God has given us all things. We think of Acts chapter 17 and verse 25 where it says, God gave us life, breath, and all things. Our hope in this world is that we give glory to the designer and the Creator of us. That is our purpose. That we have been designed, we have been created by Almighty God, and He has created us for certain purposes. And when we do those things that we were designed to do and supposed to do, we give glory to God. And we can't brag about such things, but we'll talk about that here in a second. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, if any man speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. There's nothing special about me. I'm just trying to speak the words of God. In fact, God wants us to do that, does He not? He wants us to speak the oracles of God. It continues on in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, if any man speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified. The pot tries to glorify the Creator. Look, that's a good pot. That pot is doing that which it's designed to do. That pot doesn't talk back. That pot is doing what it's supposed to do. That pot's not bragging about what that pot is doing. But when people look at that pot and that pot's doing what it's supposed to be doing, they say, you know what? That pot had a good designer. When you walk around this face of earth, are people looking at you and say, you have a good designer? Just can they see the Creator from you? Not because you're great, but because the designer's great. Our only hope in this life is that we give glory back to the Creator. But for us to talk back to the Creator, what a foolish picture that is that the potter gets done creating this pot, and the pot goes, oh, I got a better way to do it. I could have been designed better. You could have done this, or you could have done this. Humans do that all the time with God, and it's incredibly disrespectful. But people get lost in pride, do they not? They get all their education, they get all their degrees, and they say, oh, God, I'm smarter than you now. You're just a pot. You're just a pot. And the only way we can be truly beautiful in this world is if we do the purposes which God has designed us to do. In Isaiah 64, in verse 8, it says, but now, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay, and You are the potter. And all we are the work of Your hand. Don't get too prideful with human wisdom. I know a lot of people with a lot of degrees. I work with people with a lot of degrees. And a lot of times, they get on a high horse. There's no doubt about that. Because of their worldly wisdom, they get very prideful. They say, I've got all the answers in this certain category. But it's kind of sad when you think about it, because all the different categories that we have. God knows all things. We have somebody that's an expert in building. We have somebody that's an expert in education. We've got somebody that's an expert in this, computers. We're really only experts in very small fields in relation to God. What a sad thing that we get prideful in the little knowledge that we have. In the little knowledge that we have, I would suggest that our knowledge is truly discovery and not invention. And I love people that like to throw out that word, oh, we invented this or we invented this. Really, I would really want you to think this morning, how much of human knowledge is just discovery? It's not really invention. It's discovery. There's really nothing new under the sun. We're just discovering things. Just like my child learns about gravity. Oh, this fell off the table. What's going on there? They're discovering things. They're discovering how the world works. And sometimes, as human beings, we discover multiple rules of the universe, and we put those together, and we discover things. Like, yeah, planes can fly. Could a plane flew, 2,000 years ago? I think so. We just discovered, based off of all these things that we have discovered over the course of time, you think God knew that we could fly? You think he knew that? You think God knew about some of the medicine that has been discovered and has been utilized? You don't think God knew about that? God's the creator of all things. He knew all this stuff. How much of our knowledge is just discovery? We're just discovering things, and we think we're great. So sad. A child discovers, and as we go across human life, we can discover a lot. And I'm not saying these discoveries can't be used for good, but a lot of times we miss our place in the world. We say, look at all this wisdom I have. Look at all this knowledge I have. All that knowledge has just been discovered. I heard an old preacher say one time, he said people will pound their chest and say, look what I made. I made cornbread. Oh, yeah, look what I made. I made cornbread. And you know what that preacher said? This always stuck with me. He said, well, I'd like to see you make the seed. You think about that? You know, you think about that. There's a lot of things that we can do with corn. There's a lot of things that we can do with these things in the world. There's a lot that we can learn about the world around us, but truly, we're just discovering. You want to do something special? Make the seed. Make the first corn seed ever. I'm not saying not modify a seed. Make the first seed. Make the first human. Make the first life. Make the first cell. Questions that they still have to this day. How foolish we are. Think about that picture. I want you to think about that picture this morning. You work hard on making this pot, and then all of a sudden the pot starts talking back to you and say, I got a better way. I got a better system. Look at all this information I've gathered as I've been a pot in the world. It's nothing compared to God. Don't think too highly of yourself. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for it is out of it from where you were taken. For dust you are, and dust you shall return. Our physical bodies, dust. Discovery is really, I would suggest it's basically all our knowledge. We're just discovering what's around us. In the field of education, in the field of building, in the field of transportation, all these fields, we're just discovering what's possible based off the world that's around us. Do we really think we're that wise? You know, if you really think you're that wise, start looking at the questions in Job chapter 38 and 39. God says, hey, Job, I'll question you. Why don't you look at some of those questions? In Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 5, it says, as you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child. You know, I think about that. I think childbearing is an amazing, amazing thing. But that's a question, is it not? In Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 5, it says, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child. I'm not saying that we can't discover how some of these things happen. We can't understand growth and growth processes and things like that. But when you start thinking about it, there's a lot of things in this world. There's a lot of things in this world that would humble us if we would just look and say, you know what? I really don't have the answers to all things. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, every house has a builder, but the builder of all things is God. Let us never become the wise pot that says, I have a better way. Let us not become the wise pot that says, God, I know better than you. I can do it better. I've found a better way through much of worldly wisdom. I have got to a point where I know more than you. We're going to die. And no worldly wisdom is going to help you with that problem. No degree is going to help you with that problem. I've got some degrees. My dad's got some degrees. I work with people with all kinds of degrees. Those degrees will not help them when it comes to the end of this life. The only wisdom that will help is the wisdom from God. And what a foolish thing for a pot to talk back to the potter. You really think you're wise? You really think you're something? Really, the pot is nothing without God. But people don't like to think that way. Have we become God's trifold creation? Number one, I think about wisdom. That's a danger zone. I think that people get worldly wisdom. A lot of times they'll shake their finger and say, I know more than you, God. Another danger is that when we have worldly might. And worldly might, I think, is kind of many forms. But this is when the pot has a different conversation. Conversation number one, pot says to the potter, I've got a better way than you. This is a different conversation. This conversation is the pot first to say, look what I can do. worldly life. It's one thing to say you're wise. It's another thing to say, look what I can do. Look at these great things I've accomplished. Look at this house I've built. Look at this business. Look at these things that I've achieved. Look at my worldly might. That's different than saying I know better than you. Look at my might. This is like the pop things in the park. Look what I can do. Look how well I hold this water. Look how well I do this. Look how many people I've served. Wouldn't that be foolish for a pop to say such a thing? Wouldn't that be foolish for a pop to say, look how much water I hold, or look how much soup I hold, look how many people I've served? Guess what? You're not doing any of that without God. Once again, sometimes we get prideful with our accomplishments. Sometimes we get prideful with our possessions. Look at how much I've done. Look at how much I've served. Question. If the pot does what it's supposed to do, can it brag about that? You're supposed to hold water. You're supposed to serve people. You're a pot. That's what you're designed to do. You're designed to transport. You're designed to hold. You're designed to serve people in those capacities. That's what you were designed to do. You can't brag about that. And yet there's some Christians that do that, do they not? They say, look at all these people I've served. Look at all this good that I've done. Look at all these things. Look at this thing that I've achieved. Look at this degree. Look at this business. Look at my career. Look at these things I've done. I'm mighty. Not without God. Not without God. Many times people get lost in their accomplishments and what they've done, and they forget about the Creator. In Luke chapter 18, I think there's such a man, there's many examples that could be used, but in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 and following, we find a Pharisee. Verses 9 through 12, it says, he spoke a parable to them who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That's kind of what we're talking about, a little bit, the might of an individual. It says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed, thus with himself, God, I thank you that you have not made me like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even tax collectors. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, you look at the individual here, the Pharisee, and he's saying some good things. Some things he's saying aren't necessarily bad things, but we can see that he's bragging about. Do we as Christians brag about things that we're supposed to do? I'm going to brag about teaching Bible class. I'm going to brag about preaching the gospel. I'm going to brag about trying to serve others. I'm going to brag about praying. I'm going to brag about fasting. These are things that we're supposed to do. These are things that we are supposed to do. You know, many times, people will brag about things that they're supposed to do. You're supposed to do such things. When you think about it, go back to that picture we have. We've got the potter, and we've got the pot. And the pot is looking up at the potter and saying, look how many people up there. Look how good I hold this water. Look how good I transport this water. I never spill a drip. Well, isn't that all because of the design? Can we brag about things that we were designed to do? God designed us to work and support our families, did he not? He designed us that we can work, that we can do things, that we can provide for our families, that we can love, that we can serve, that we can do these things throughout life. But we're going to try to brag about those things. In Luke chapter 17, it talks about a servant. And I'm not going to go through the whole passage, but we have this idea of a servant. And basically the idea that is concluded is, should a servant get a whole bunch of credit for doing what a servant should do? Well, the servant set the table. The servant brought the drink. The servant brought the food. Should a servant be able to brag about what a servant should do? Should an employee brag about what an employee should be doing? Should we as Christians be bragging about what a Christian should be doing? In Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, it says, so likewise, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say we're in profitable service. We have done that which is our duty to do. Think about that. What is the duty of a pot? What is the duty of the pot? The duty of the pot is to hold things, to transport things, to do those type of things. Can we, as Christians, brag about those things that we're supposed to do? Things that God designed us to be. You know, Paul is actually described as a vessel in Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. It says, but the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles. Paul is being described as a vessel, a pot, if you will, and he is supposed to do what? He's supposed to transport the gospel to the Gentiles. That's his job. Can Paul bang his chest and say, look at what I've done! Haven't I done a great deed? No, you just did that which you were designed to do. So many times we look at our might, we look at our achievements, we say, look what I can do. With a pot, what a foolish thing for a pot to say, look what I can do. I'm doing a great job. I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't think that would be right, and I don't think the Bible tells us that that's right in Luke chapter 17, verse 10. So likewise, when you've done all things which you were commanded, say we're unprofitable servants, we've done that which is our duty to do. We are vessels of the Lord. We are pots of the Lord. And when we achieve things in life, we should give God the glory. We should give God the glory because we realize without God, we don't have life, we don't have breath, and we don't have the abilities which God gives us. And I'm talking about the physical world, and I'm also talking about the spiritual world, because I think both apply. I think there are many Christians that can achieve things in the physical world that are good, that are great, in terms of giving glory back to the Creator. Employee of the month, teacher of the year, can't those type of things give glory to God? I think they can. They can give glory to God, but we've got to be careful that we don't take that. It's like, look, God gave me these abilities, and I'm doing the best I can with these abilities. But I'm not going to go to the potter and brag about what I'm doing, what I'm supposed to be doing. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified. Glory goes to God. Glory does not go to the pot, and that's what we are. Number one, the pot cannot get wise and talk back to God and say, oh, I've got a better way than you, God. Two, the pot should not be looking at its might and looking at what it's doing and saying, look how great I am and look at these things that I'm doing that I was designed to do. Number three, here's another conversation. We've got the potter, we've got the pot. The potter said, I know better than you. What a foolish thing. We've got the pot, and the pot says, look what I can do. What a foolish thing. And number three, the pot says, look at what I have. That would be kind of a foolish conversation as well. How did the pot get the content of what's in the pot? Probably somebody poured into that pot. And you know what? When you think about that picture, does God not pour down from heaven those blessings? He pours down blessings on us, and he fills our vessel. He fills us. Spiritually, physically, he gives us these blessings. And this is the pot that says, look what I have. Look what I have. Look what I've accumulated. Wouldn't that be poor for a pot to say to the potter, look what I've got. Look what I've gathered. You know what a sad thing is many times when God blesses us, we think all those blessings are for us. Wouldn't it be sad if a pot was poured and loaded up with soup, for example, and the pot says, I'm going to keep all this soup for myself. I'm not going to give this soup to anybody. I'm just going to keep all this soup. All this soup is mine. That'd be kind of foolish, would it not? What about a pot or a vessel that got all this water? It got all this water and says, you know what? I'm going to keep this water. This water is mine. It's my possession. I've gathered this and look, I'm overflowing. Look, I have all these blessings. Wouldn't that be foolish for that pot not to distribute? Now, God blesses us in many ways, does he not? He blesses us financially, but I don't want to just think about that this morning. I want to think about our abilities. God blesses us in many ways. He blesses us financially. He blesses us with abilities. And if we try to keep all those abilities and finances for ourselves, I think that would be a foolish thing to do. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, there's instructions to those that are rich. And certainly there's many Christians that are blessed in different ways. And like I said, I just don't want to focus on the finances because a lot of people have many abilities that they will not distribute out to the world. There's many abilities that you have that you hold back from the service to God. Now God gave you that ability. He blessed you with that ability. But you're like the prophet says, you know what? I got all this water. I got all this soup. I'm going to keep it for myself. That'd be a foolish thing to do. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, there's a command to those that are rich. It says, command those who are rich in the present age not to be haughty, prideful, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. I don't want to focus just on finances, but as God bless you financially, what dollar has come to you that is not have a connection with God. See, we don't like to think that way, do we? We don't like to think that every dollar in my bank account that I have was distributed to me by God. I'm not saying you have to work for it. Nope, that's not what I'm saying. The Bible does tell us to work, right? That's a good thought. A good thought goes to work, and a good thought goes out and serves. And we, throughout life, we're blessed. And we have to think about those blessings. But if you were a client and you received all this water, and you said, I'm just going to keep all this water, okay? What happens to water that sits for a long time, that's not new? Stagnates. Kind of becomes nasty, doesn't it? God has given you blessings, has He not? And He did not give you blessings so you can just sit and hold on to them forever. Are some for you? Yes. Some are for your family? Yes. But we have to look at ourselves every once in a while and say, what has God given me and what am I getting back? Am I the pot that looks at God and say, look at all I have. Look at what I've accumulated. I've got all these blessings. I've got all these abilities. But you know what? I'm going to keep it to myself. You know, Paul describes himself as what? Being poured out like a drink offering. And you know what? I think that's a good picture of what we're kind of talking about this morning. If God blesses us and we pour ourselves out, we pour ourselves out for our spouse, we pour ourselves out to our family, we pour ourselves out to the community, we pour ourselves out for our brothers and sisters in Christ, we pour ourselves out as we go through life. Don't become so prideful, they say, look at what I have. What a foolish thing for a pot to say, look at everything I have and not realize where those things have come from. What has God given you? And have you given back? It's certainly something to consider from time to time. The pot is giving something to hold, but how much does it distribute and give? A pot is giving something to hold, but how much does it distribute and give? Look at all this soup I have, but I'm not going to give it to anybody. Look at all this water I have, but I'm not going to try to distribute or help anyone. When you have money, when you're blessed by the Lord, when you're given talents and abilities, and you're blessed by the Lord, you use those for God. You have some individuals that have the ability to teach. We have some people that have the ability to sing. I mean, I'm talking about leading things. You know, we have people that have the ability to organize. Not all of us have that talent. I can tell you that. Not all of us have the ability to organize, not necessarily all of us have. We are a collection of individuals that come together with different talents. And if we don't pour our talents out and try to support one another and help one another, I think we might be that pot that says, look at all I have. But all we have was given to us by God, and if it's not distributed, that puts us in a hard place. Have you ever thought that everything that you have is a rental? Everything you have in life is a rental. God has filled you up with talents, abilities, finances, and you are not going to have those forever. You carry nothing in, you'll carry nothing out. A pot started with nothing, and guess what? A pot eventually will break, it'll wear down, it'll go through the, you know, through life, it'll wear down and all those things, and eventually that pot won't be around anymore. What are you going to do with the contents that you have throughout life? Everything we have is a rental. If you don't think it's a rental, just don't pay the taxes for a while. Now, we're supposed to pay our taxes. That's what the Bible says. But if you think that what you have is not a rental, don't pay your taxes. Because if you don't pay your taxes, your land will end up on the courthouse steps, will it not? You don't pay your taxes on your property, they'll come after it. If you don't pay taxes on your house, they're coming after it. Everything we have in this life is a rental. Every blessing we have in this life is a rental. And if you don't realize we're the pot and God has filled us up and we should be distributing and thinking about how we can bless other people with the blessings that God has given, are you a good steward of what God has given? Are you a good steward? You know, we think of that rich man, Luke chapter 12. You know, he's building bigger barns. He's leaving God out of the equation. He's not thinking about. But in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, before kind of God gets into it, he says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Our possessions is not what life's all about. And really, we're just a steward of those things which God has given. The world is passing away, the Bible says. We carry nothing in, we will carry nothing out. At the end of this life, you know what I want to hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. But I want to change that this morning. You know what I want to hear at the end of my life? Well done, good and faithful pot. Now, you might not want to think of your way that way, but that's what we are. Well done, good and faithful pot. You didn't talk back. Right, that would be a good pot. I don't want any pot to talk back in my house. You know, don't put that in there, you know. Hey, I could have been this designed better. You should have designed it. I don't want to talk with that clock. No, Don didn't take the clock. You didn't talk back. You did what you were supposed to do. Well, down to the sinful pot and didn't brag about what you were supposed to do. You didn't brag about saying, oh, look at all this water I'm carrying. Look at how many people I've served. That's what you're supposed to do. You're a pot. Well, down to the sinful pot. You did what you were supposed to do and you didn't brag about it. Well, down to the sinful pot. Because I filled you up and you distributed to those that were around you. What you had, you gave. You did the best you could to try to think about it and consider that give your abilities and give your finances to the betterment. Let's not become too arrogant and prideful in this plane of life. At the end of this life, I want to hear, well done and good and faithful talk. I want to hear, well done and good and faithful servant. You didn't talk back. You didn't brag about those things that you were supposed to do. And when I gave you something, you distributed and did what you could. When I gave you an ability, you used it. When I gave you finances, you tried to distribute it as best you could to the betterment of others. Well done, good and faithful talk. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need to pray to the church. We'd love to help you this morning. A lot of times when people are thinking about becoming Christians, they're held back because they fall under trap number one. If they try to talk back to God and say, I've got a better way. God, I know this is what you said, but I'm not going to do it. Many times it's because of pride. We pray that pride will not hold you back from doing what the Bible says. We see the pattern of individuals hearing the word, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. You need to become a New Testament Christian. You need to pray to the church. We ask to please come as we stand and as we sing.